You know, as you were sharing the word right there to the end, the Lord brought me back to Deuteronomy 32:39, and it says, "See now that I, even I, am He, and there is no God with me. I kill and I make alive, I wound and I heal, and there is none that can deliver out of my hand." It just lets you know how sovereign God is.
Yep.
And if we're not on his side, we're on the bad side.
Absolutely. We're on the losing side too, right?
Right. Whoa. You know, that should put the fear of God in our hearts. Get it right. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Amen. I believe the message that the Lord put on my heart today as I was meditating on the things of the Lord and the scriptures that he brought it to my mind. And you know, it's here a little, there a little, precept upon precept, line upon line. And, you know, sometimes some may even think, you know, why are you guys saying the same thing almost but different scriptures? You know, well, you know, God wants us to get things right, and that's good, you know. And we need to hear repetitious, you know, things, because the Israelites did, you know, in the Old Testament. You see where God repeated himself quite a few times because he wanted to get them right. He wanted them to get things right. And so, you know, so that's a good thing. And even Peter, you know, said, well, you know, I don't mind putting you into remembrance, brother. You know, so it's a good thing that he does, because he's out to help us, but also kill our flesh, you know. So we can die out to the self-life and put the deeds of the flesh to death by the Spirit of God, amen, by submitting to the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, and not the flesh, amen. If you want to call this message something, the Lord just put this on my heart. Love covers a multitude of sins. And over here in 1 Corinthians 1:4, it says, "I thank my God always concerning you for the grace of God given you in Christ Jesus, that in everything you were enriched," talking about spiritual riches, "in him in all utterance and all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was conformed in you, so that you come behind in no gift," hallelujah, "awaiting the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall also confirm you," that's a promise, "unto the end, unreprovable, blameless, in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful the God through whom you were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Now I beseech you, brethren, through the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same, and no division be among you, but that you be perfected together," hallelujah, God wants us to be perfected together in the same mind and the same judgment or discernment, hallelujah, praise God. So, you know, that only can happen if we're what? Meditating on the same thing, the Word of God, feeding on the Lord Jesus Christ. So he doesn't want any division amongst us. But we also know that the Lord talked about in the gospel that he allows the wheats and the tares to grow together. Well, there's a reason for that. And over here in 1 Corinthians 11:18, it says, "For first, when you come together in church, I hear divisions exist among you, and I partly believe it. For factions must be," did you hear that? "For factions must be also among you, that the approved be also manifest among you." Wow. So who's in control? God's allowing things to happen to purge us, you know, from the old man. So how do we act our faith? I mean, how would we know if we're really in faith or not unless God allows trials and tribulations across our pathway, you know, and to challenge us to see what's really in our heart? Sometimes we don't even know what's in our heart. We may think we got it all right, And we may think that we have arrived, but it's interesting when we think that, you know, immediately God allows a trial or tribulation coming your way real quick to show you he ain't there yet, you know. So praise God for his mercy and grace on our life to get things right. And we need to lean on his grace and mercy. Hallelujah. Faction. You know, faction is the root of jealousy, and it's out to destroy people's life, because jealousy is like a cancer, you know. It destroys people. And do you ever find yourself accusing others in your mind, or even publicly sometimes, you know, or judging or criticizing or fault-finding or, you know, whispering, which is secret slandering? Are you doing this? You need to. Are we really doing that? I mean, are we allowing that to happen, you know, when the Word of God teaches against that, to walk in the Spirit so you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh, you know? Think on these things and pure things and all that. Do you also ever find yourself blaming others or being angry or impatient or agitated or frustrated with people on a continued basis? Well, you know what? You may need some deliverance. And praise God, deliverance is a children's bread, you know. If you're really battling with those characteristics, demonic, it's the works of the flesh, you know. And so we want to be delivered from that. See, we're called to work out our own salvation, not somebody else's salvation, and try to be the Holy Spirit to other people. We're called to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. Amen? We need to fear God, you know, from our heart, reverence him, and want to do good, and want to do what's right, and want to obey scriptures, you know. This is a commandment of the Lord. That's if you're obeying the word of God, guess what? You're abiding in Christ. You're abiding in his word. You are truly a disciple, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Hallelujah. That's a promise right there, if we're abiding. Amen. Also, the Word of God tells us in James 3:13, it says, "Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by his good conduct his works in meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and faction in your heart, glory not and lie not against the truth." See how the Lord is through his word is warning us not to fall into things, you know. And he tells you that this is not the wisdom that cometh down from above, but is earthly, sensual, demonic. So guess what? We're not called to walk in the flesh, because this walking in the flesh will destroy your life. And we're not called to be angry at people and have bitterness and resentment and unforgiveness towards people. That's not our calling. Our calling is to forgive from the heart. Many sometimes will forgive from the head, but they really don't forgive from the heart, because it comes out sooner or later. Because when I think about that person, all of a sudden something just rises up, you know, and that root of bitterness just rises up in resentment, you know, towards that individual. When God tells us, put the deeds of the flesh to death, to think on good things and pure things and lovely things. He says right here in verse 16, he says, "For where jealousy is and faction, there is confusion in every vile, evil deed." Wow. So does God want us to be jealous of one another? No, absolutely not. Because it brings confusion in people's lives, you know. And people wonder why they can't seem to go further in the things of God. Because if you're going around with a critical heart, and you're judging people, and you're murmuring and complaining all the time, and you're being ridiculed towards people, or gossiping, or complaining, you know, and blaming people, you know. See, we have to love one another, because love covers a multitude of sins. We need to be letting our light so shine, and pressing in by faith to manifest the fruits of the Holy Spirit, love and joy and peace and long-suffering, gentleness, faith and meekness and temperance. Hallelujah. Well, what are we doing? We're fighting that good fight of faith, laying hold on eternal life. We're putting on the full armor of God. We're quenching all the fiery darts of the wicked one. When a criticism comes in our mind, we cast it down quickly. We don't sit there and meditate on it and then allow it from start from our head down into our heart. And then we have to repent. See, God has given us grace and mercy to get things right. But guess what? Just like Brother David's saying and been saying for a long time, we ain't got much more time. You know, we're about to enter into tribulation. Wouldn't it be better for cleansed from all defilement of flesh and spirits, perfecting holiness in the fear of God, walking by faith before we go into tribulation? Moses did. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He didn't murmur and complain when he went through the, because he already went through his wilderness, so he understood, you know, and he was determined to believe God. And when a situation come on, you could see Moses' heart. He would fall to the ground and start praying to get the mind of God. Amen. Hallelujah. Factious spirits and jealousy spirits are very detrimental in people's lives. Those who have a spirit of jealousy are usually are bound up with spirits of envy and distrust and selfishness, and they usually can become very suspicious. And people who are paranoid are also bound up with these spirits too and can be confrontational at times, and some also battle with all kinds of fears too. See, deliverance is a children's bread. Why would you want to stay under that delusional, under those demonic spirits or out to kill, steal, and destroy your life? It is not worth it. It is not worth it to be jealous of people. It's not worth it to be critical. It's not worth it to murmur and complain. The Bible tells us to do that, not to murmur and complain. Are we murmuring and complaining? If we're murmuring now, guess what? When we go through tribulation, we'll be doing the same thing. We'll be murmuring and complaining instead of praying. See, we need to really pray for one another. Amen? If that critical spirit comes into your thought, guess what? Why don't you pray for them? Amen. What the devil meant for harm, now you can make it good in the Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. And pray for that person. Quenching those fiery darts of the wicked one. Hallelujah. Amen. Lift them to the throne of grace. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, I'd like to go to Galatians chapter 5, 19 through 21, just because what this message is about, and I'm not going to read everything, and I may quote some things on down the road, but it says, "Now the works of the flesh are manifested." And let's just remember these, because some of these things will be brought up every once in a while. Now, these are the works of the flesh, and which are manifesting in Christians' life, which is sad because it's not supposed to be that way. The Bible says if you walk in the Spirit, you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. That's the reason why the Lord empowered us by the Holy Spirit. Praise the Lord. Last night, there was a brother who'd been in the Pentecostal church for many years, but been listening to UBM for 2.5 years, came on the conference call, and he wanted us to come into an agreement with some healing, but also to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. He was so hunger and thirst after righteousness after we got through praying for him. I mean, as soon as I was going to open, take the mute off, and as soon as before I even had a chance, he already started speaking in tongues, but I went ahead and unmuted everybody, and we just entered in with him, speaking the praises of the Lord and his works, you know. Praise God, the wonderful works of God. Hallelujah. We were just praying in the Spirit and just having a wonderful time in the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. God is so good, isn't he? Amen. Well, anyway, he says, "Now the works of the flesh are manifested, which are fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry." Whoa. Boy, idolatry. Lord brought to my attention the other day that there's mind idolatry, you know, which is idolizing your mind, intellectualism and rationalism, and also pride and ego, you know. We don't want to step into that, do we? Sorcery, witchcraft, enmity, strife, jealousy, there it is, wrath, factions, division. These are all the work of the flesh. Heresies, envyings, drunkenness. Are you getting drunk? You'd be surprised how many Christians are drinking. Revelings and like of these. Now, this is a warning to us right here. "And the like of these of which I forewarned you, as also I did forewarn, that they who practice such things shall not, didn't say they will, they shall not inherit God's kingdom. He is talking to spirit-filled Christians. He ain't talking to the world. The world's already lost and going to hell. I mean, when I had that vision, well, actually I saw in the spirit the glass, sheet of glass, and there's a ball of fire underneath the glass, and the people above that were dancing to their own tune didn't even realize it. And I would see people every once in a while come up in that flames, and they were on flames, you know. I'm thinking, I don't want to be there. That's not where I want to go, you know. But then after a while, it seemed like this scene in the spirit was a long time, but all of a sudden the glass started breaking up, and they fell down into the fire. See, they shall not inherit God's kingdom. We need to really fear God and reverence Him. We ain't got time. We need to get serious with God. We need to get serious with ourselves. We also need to get serious with our brothers and sisters in the Lord. Amen. There's no time to play around. And I see people, you know, playing around sometimes, you know. They're being very foolish. And with the Lord. Not with me, but with the Lord, you know. And so we have to be careful about that. I'd like to go back over here to James chapter 3, let's see, verse 17. But the wisdom from above is what? First pure, then peaceable, gentle, easily entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without variance, without hypocrisy. There's no play acting, amen? And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace for them that make peace. So the Lord has called us to be a peacemaker. And praise God for the peace of God that passes all understanding. It's doing what? It's guarding our hearts and thoughts in Christ Jesus. We're to think on those good things and pure things and lovely things and things that are good report. Amen? Hallelujah. Setting our what? Affections on things above and not on things on the earth. Amen? Hallelujah. I'd like to go over to Romans chapter 7 and let's see, verse 22. This is Paul. For I delight in the law of God. Hallelujah. After the inward man. But I see a different law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity in the law of sin, which is in my members. Wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me out of the body of this death? But thanks to God, through who? Jesus Christ, our Lord, Christ in us, the hope of glory. Amen. So then I myself with the mind indeed serve God's law, but with the flesh, sin's law. So see, Paul was sharing the struggles that he had and the understanding he was getting. Amen. It's that old man warring with us, warring against the spirit and the spirit against the old man, you know. And so we have to learn to submit to who? The Holy Spirit. Amen. Submit to Him. Submit to our Lord Jesus Christ, who's on the throne of our heart. Lord and Master on the throne of our heart. Amen. That's who we need to serve. Serve Him only. Don't have no confidence in the flesh, but by the Spirit. Amen. Put our confidence in the Lord. Don't put your confidence in your flesh and what you can do. That's dangerous. Because without Him, we can do really nothing. You know, He created us on the good works to do good works by His Spirit. Amen. So all for His glory. Amen. Amen. Well, let's go to James chapter 4. And this is a continuation right here. It says, when wars and winds fightings among you, come they not hence of your pleasures that war in your members? Ye lust and have not. Ye kill and are jealous. There's that word jealous. And cannot obtain. You fight and war. You have not because you ask not. You ask and receive not because you ask amiss. So that amiss means from evil influences or ethically evil. It's an evil heart. That's what it is. That you may spend it in your pleasures. See, we're getting our conscience, you know. We're getting our mind, will, and emotions, you know. through the Word of God. The Word of God is actually saving our mind, will, and emotions. Amen? The engrafted Word is able to save your soul. So we need to get our mind renewed to the Word of God. But if we're not feeding on the Lord Jesus Christ, we're playing around with the world in its ways and doing the things in the world, you know, fellowshipping with the world in its ways. I mean, we're just kidding ourselves. It's just the only time when you'll be taken out, really. Satan will take you out. God will allow that to take place. If you're continually doing the things of the world and fellowshipping with the world, you know. But that's the reason why we need to be careful what we put in and download in our heart and our mind, because there's all kinds of wickedness going on out there. And it's out, you know, Satan's out to kill and destroy your life. He could care less if you go to hell or not. Why would you want to pack around with him? Because your flesh will if you allow it. Then he says over here in verse 4, he says, adulteresses, know you not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whoso therefore intends to be the world's friend makes himself God's enemy. Ooh. So if you're making yourself a friend of the world, you become God's enemy. Oh. Or think ye that the scriptures say in vain, doeth the spirit which he made to dwell in us long unto envy? Absolutely not. But he giveth greater grace, wherefore it said, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Well, one thing we don't want to be is prideful, you know, and arrogant. And fall into that category of spiritual pride. Spiritual pride will bring you down. You know, there's a lot of people that get off in all kinds of spirituality, you know, and they try to be quote scriptures at you sometimes, you know, as if, you know, they're trying to justify why they do what they do and to their own destruction. They wrestle the scriptures to their own destructions when they do that, you know, trying to prove a point, and they're not really proving anything, you know. And it will be revealed in the last days, you know, if we don't repent and get things right with God. You know, we started to show ourselves approved, rightly what? Dividing the word of truth. Amen. It's by the Spirit of God. It's Jesus opening the scriptures to us so that we will know the word of God. Hallelujah. It's him giving it to us. It's not like we're some kind of special person that we just know the word of God. It's the Holy Spirit opening the scriptures up to us. Amen. And downloading the word of God in us, writing it on the tablets of our heart and our mind. Praise God. Who's doing that? Holy Spirit. And guess what? As we're in the Word, he's going to give it, because there's no private interpretation. Amen. There's only one interpretation, God's interpretation. Amen. So we're studying to show ourselves approved, rightly dividing the Word of truth. We don't get scriptures. We're not getting word, you know, we're not, you know, getting wisdom and knowledge and understanding to get puffed up and try to show people how much we know. People do that all the time. I'm thinking, why are you doing that? You know, you're not proving nothing. Hallelujah. We're called to be peacemakers anyway. We're not trying to prove anything. We're not supposed to be justifying. If you're justifying, there's something wrong with you. See, that's a problem right there. That should be a key that, you know, if you're trying to prove things to people that you're right and they're wrong, you know, thinking that you're always right, you know, and could be wrong, you know. And, well, we just have to humble ourselves, don't we? Amen. Be subject, therefore, to God, but resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Huh? That's a promise right there. Amen. So now we draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to us. Then he says, cleanse your hands, sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. In other words, God doesn't want us to be schizophrenia. He wants us to be have a sound mind in Christ Jesus. Amen. As we're feeding on the Lord Jesus Christ, guess what? Our desires become his desires, because they're already his desires, because we're lining up our life and our desires to the Word of God. So he'll give us the desires of a heart because they're his desires, because they line up with his Word. There's nothing hidden. There's no hidden motives behind it, you know, which is a good thing. See, it's safe to be in the hands of God if you're really pressing in by faith to do it his way. But if you're trying to be something out there, and you're wanting to prove yourself, if you're like you're somebody. Wow. See, I don't want to know your flesh. I want to know Christ in you. That's who I really want to know. That's what you really want to know, too. You want to know the Christ in me, and I want to know the Christ in you. Hallelujah. Praise God. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and the joy to what? Heaviness. In other words, having fruit worthy of repentance. Amen. You know, as we're reading the Word of God, we're going to be repentant because, hallelujah, we're changing our minds. We'd rather go do it God's way than our way. Amen. Humble yourself in the Lord's sight, and he shall exalt you. Don't get ahead of God. Rest in the Lord. I mean, there's a precious, a brother who's been in the ministry for quite a few years, last night was given a testimony, and you know what? He waited on the Lord. I mean, he was just continually waiting. He found out there were some people ministering in this certain locality, and you know, the Lord led him down there, and the Lord put it on his heart that he would be ministering to him. And you know what? He didn't even ask. They came to him 2 weeks later and said, "Hey, brother, would you like to minister the Word of God to us?" He said, "I will, brother." Amen. But God had what? Revealed it to him. But he sat and waited on the Lord because God knows the perfect timing for everything. Amen. People are trying to push God's hand. You know what? If you keep pushing God's hand, guess what? God will give you what you want, and it'll be premature, and it'll be detrimental to your ministry. It really will. I know a brother that happened to him. He was so arrogant and so prideful. He was gifted too, and people were following him. But then after a while, the Lord allowed him to go through some manifold trials and to teach him a lesson, you know, and he was taught a very valuable lesson, but he learned it the hard way. Why would you want to go the hard way? Some of you could be so stubborn out there, you know. I know I was stubborn. That's rebellion, isn't it? Well, we have to repent of that, don't we? Amen. We need to be soft before the Lord. Amen. Pliable for the Lord. He's the potter, we're the clay, and guess what? We need to submit to the potter's hand, allow him to mold us and shape us into the image of his son. We ain't got much time left, brothers and sisters. Amen. Then he says in verse 11, it says, "Speak not one against another." Are you doing that? Well, if we're doing that, we need to repent, brethren, who speak against a brother. Now, this is what the Word of God says. Or judges his brother, speaks against the law and judges the law. But if thou judgest the law, thou art not of the law, but judge. Verse 12, it says, "One is lawgiver and judge, he who can save and destroy," talking about the Father, amen, "but who art thou that judges thy neighbor?" So we need to be careful about judging people, you know. And then, let's see, James 5:9, it says, "Murmur not, brethren, against one another." Are we doing that? Are we getting irritated with our brothers and sisters? Are we getting short with them? Are we, you know, just no grace, you know, no mercy, but just, are we doing that? That's to your detrimental. If you are, we need to repent and believe the gospel. Amen. He says, "Murmur not, brethren, against one another, that you be not judged." What a promise. "Lo, the judge stands before the door." Whoa. Wow. Then over here, 1 John, you know, chapter 2, verse 8, it says, "Again, a new commandment write I to you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away, and the true light already shines. Who says he is in the light and hates his brothers," ooh, "is in darkness." That's what the Word of God says, "even until now. Who loves his brother abides in the light." Okay, there it is, right there. There's a promise. If you love your brother, you're abiding in Christ, aren't you? You're abiding in the light because Jesus is the light. Amen? He's the light of the world. Amen? In him we live, move, and have our being. And no stumbling is in him. Praise God. Well, what a promise. Don't we just want to stay in the light and just forgive our brothers and sisters and just walk in holiness and upright before the Lord, amen? Casting down all those imaginations when they come? Because temptations will come, you know. What do you do with the temptations when they come? But who hates his brother is in the darkness. See, that's a promise right there. And walks in the darkness and knows not whither he goes. Whoa, I wouldn't want to be in those shoes right there where you don't even know where you're going. You know, you're wavering. You're not even thinking right. You know, you're stinking thinking, right? because the darkness have blinded his eyes. Wow. So we have to be careful, you know. We have to do it God's way. It's not about you. It's not about me. It's all about Jesus. Amen. We need to walk in as he walked. He gives us the grace and mercy to walk as he walked. Do you have a short fuse or hot temper or hatred, rage, or resentment towards others? Because they don't do it your way or because you don't respond the way you do to things, you know? Do you fall into that sometimes? Well, you know, it doesn't really matter. Everybody thinks differently. You know, I had to learn some things when where I was working at down in Alabama. You know, I was a supervisor, and, you know, I kind of doled out the work to everybody, and I kind of was a little bit of a despot because I had a certain way I wanted to see things. But God dealt with me on that. After a while, I let them do it as long as the results, you know, were the same, basically. And so I tell you what, it took a lot of pressure off of me, you know. See, I was putting pressure on myself because I had to have it my way. No, it's not my way. It's God's way. So I asked the Lord to bless the fruits of my labor, but also asked the Lord to bless the fruits of their labor. And I learned to let go and let God, you know. And boy, I tell you what, I got a deliverance. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, you know what? If you're battling with hot temper or short fuse or hatred, rage, or resentment, or unforgiveness, or whatever, you may need to do some house cleaning, right? Praise God. Deliverance is a children's bread. Amen. Let's go over here to Matthew 5:22. It says, but I say unto you that everyone, here's that angry word again. Angry with his brother shall be, now this is Jesus speaking. But I say unto you that everyone angry with his brother shall be in danger of the judgment, and whoso shall say to his brother, Raca, or Raca, which means senseless or empty-headed, shall be in danger of the Sanhedrin, or council, or the tribunal, you know, as we've been taught through David. And whoso shall say fool, meaning dull or stupid, shall be in danger unto the Gehenna of fire. That's hellfire, the hellfire and brimstone. I don't want to be in that group. So we really need to forgive from the heart. You know, Peter went to Jesus one time and said, how much longer should I, you know, forgive my brother? In other words, they were learning, you know. But Jesus wants us to get it right. And he told them, 70 times 7, you know, always, meaning always, you know. But let's go over to Matthew 7:1. It says, judge not that you be not judged. For with what judgment you judge, you shall be judged. And with what measure you measure, it shall be measured to you. Wow. So the reason why we don't want to judge, because how you're judging people, even in your mind, is how you're going to, what measure of judgment is coming to you. You know? See, God sees all, hears all, and he knows what's in your heart. And if you're born of God's Spirit, he definitely knows what's in your heart. And he wants us to repent from our evil deeds. Amen. And why behold thou the mote that is in the eye of thy brother, but consider not the beam? Wow. That is in thine eye. Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me cast out the mote out of thine eye, and lo, the beam is in thy eye. So God wants us to get it right, don't he? He really, what he's just trying to say is quit judging and quit putting yourself on the pedestal. See, we can do that real quick. We can think we're somebody when really we're nobody. We've got to have that worm mentality like David had, you know. I tell you, there's safety in that. Because those who are prideful, God will abase you quickly, you know, in his timing. It may be in the timing when maybe not too good for you. So think about that, you know. We ain't got much time to play around with God anymore. We really don't. There's a cry going on. Just like Paul, you know, back to, you know, 2,000 years, he was begging. I beseech you, brother, and I beg you, brother, you know, not to do this and not to do that, you know. Then he says right here, you know, those who are doing it, who are judging, hypocrite, cast out first the beam out of thine eye. See, that's what God requires out of us, to get that big old beam out of our eyes. And then shall we see clearly to cast out the mote out of the eye of our brother. Amen. Wow, hallelujah. You know, we really do need to see each other like God sees us, you know, wholly through the blood of Jesus. You know, Jesus paid a high price for us. He bought us, we're bought with a price, we're not our own, through the precious blood of Jesus. He took away our sins, our sin nature, our the sins that we committed, and put it in the sea of forgivableness. You know, if God can do that for us, shouldn't we forgive our brothers and sisters? Amen. Let's go to Colossians 3:1. It says, if then you were raised together with the Christ, seek the things above, where the Christ is. Amen. We need to get our eyes on Jesus. Amen. We need to think on the good things and the pure things, but set our affections on things above. Be heavenly minded, so we will be no earthly good. Amen. That's a good positive confession. Where the Christ is, seated at God's right. Amen. Set your mind on the things above, not on those upon the earth. Hallelujah. See, the Lord is wanting us to get things right, so he gives us the Word of God. Amen. He breathed out the Word of God through some of our brothers 2,000 years ago so we could get it right. We had something. We could have something to fall back on and that we wouldn't make the same mistakes as our previous brothers may have done, you know. But sometimes we're so hard-headed and so stubborn, and we're always pointing the finger. You know, when you point the finger at people, three fingers are always pointing up. And so, I mean, three fingers are pointing back at you. That's what I meant. You know, and so you might as well quit pointing the fingers at people. You know, and quit doing that. We really need to quit doing that. And Philippians 4:8 says, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honorable, whatsoever things are trust, whatever are pure, whatever are lovely, whatever are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, take account thereof. In verse 9 it says, what things you both learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace shall be with you. Amen. The peace of God should be ruling our hearts. That's Christ in us, the hope of glory. That's Jesus being Master and Lord on the throne of our heart. We need his peace. We need his joy so that our joy may be made full. Amen. Back to Colossians chapter 3. Let's see, verse 3. For ye died, and your life is hid with the Christ in God. When the Christ, our life, shall be manifested, then shall ye also with him be manifested in glory. What a promise. Put to death, therefore, the members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanliness, passions, evil desires, and covetousness, which is idolatry. So, you know, we're not to be walking in the flesh, just like what we talked about earlier in Galatians chapter 5, because we will not inherit the kingdom of God if we do walk in the flesh. So God is constantly reminding us over and over and over to get things right. Are you doing things contrary to the Word of God? Are you doing what's right in your own eyes? Do you really care what God says in his Word? You know, I think sometimes some people don't really care. You can see it in their action. They do what's right in their own eyes. And then they say it's God. God understands. I've heard that one before many times in Birmingham. Oh, God understands. I'm a sinner saved by grace. Okay, whatever, you know. You know, if you embrace a lie, God will send you a strong delusion. That's very, you know, if you think that way, God will send you a strong delusion. For which cometh the wrath of God? See, that's what God says. And that's what Brother David was saying earlier, you know. We need to really get things right, you know, and not play around with God, you know. Wherein you also once walked. See, this should be all past tense. Praise God. When you lived in these things. But now do you also put them all away, anger and wrath and malice and railing and shameful speaking out of your mouth? Are we speaking evil things? You know, we should be speaking the Word of God. Amen. The oracles of God. Hallelujah. And you know what? If we're speaking the oracles of God, there won't be no division in the midst of us. Amen. He says, lie not one to another. Are you lying? You know, the Bible says in Revelations, I believe it's chapter 21, all liars will have their part in the lake of fire. We're called to be overcomers, not to be overcome. Most Christianity walk in the flesh and are being overcome by their flesh. See, we're called to be overcomers. Amen. To rise above these things so we can by the through the Holy Spirit. You know, praise God for the baptism of the Holy Spirit so we can overcome. He says, lie not one to another, seeing you have put off the old man with his doings and have put on the new man, Christ in us, the hope of glory. Amen. Who is being renewed unto knowledge after the image of him that created him. Hallelujah. See, God is doing a wonderful work in us. Let's submit to the potter's hand. Hallelujah. It'll be worth it. I guarantee it. Amen. And over here in verse 12, it says, put on therefore as chosen of God, holy and beloved, bowels of compassion or tender compassion, kindness, lowliness, meekness, longsuffering, forbearing one another and forgiving each other. If anyone have a complaint against any, even as the Lord forgave you, so also do ye. So we're supposed to be forgiven one another. Amen. I mean, if the Lord forgave us, we need to be forgiven. You know, when he was on the cross, he said, Father, see, he was praying for us. Amen. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Well, praise God. After we get born again, then we can receive the Holy Spirit. Then we can really get things right, can't we? Just by reading the Word of God and willfully, you know, from our heart, wanting to change our ways to do it His ways. Amen. And above all these things, put on love. So we're putting on love, which was shed abroad in our hearts. Amen. Which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of Christ arbitrate or rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Amen. You know, I've given some testimonies at the local assembly here a few times and just said, I really appreciate the Lord bringing us up here. I'm very thankful that the Lord brought us here, me and my wife. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yeah, he puts us together with the body of Christ. Do we all see eye to eye? No. But praise God. There doesn't have to be no division amongst us. Amen. You know, we don't have to argue over scriptures, you know. We all come from different walks of life, you know. We all come from different cultures and different states and all that. And so we have different mindsets, and we may perceive things just a little bit different. Hallelujah, but we can listen to one another and grow together. Amen. Because God set the five ministers into the body of Christ. Amen. So, we could come into what? The unity of the faith, into the measure and stature and the fullness of Christ. Do you ever obey those who are in leadership? Amen. We need to. Hallelujah. If they share something with us, and they're sharing the word of God to you, and they're giving you some wisdom from above, you need to listen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Some don't listen. They get themselves burnt. They get themselves in all kinds of trouble. And then they're backpedaling, and they're still not going nowhere because they keep backpedaling, you know. God doesn't put a novice into ministry at all. And so when God puts a minister into, and he exalts them into a ministry, because he doesn't want a novice in there. He wants someone who's been seasoned in the Word of God, you know. Praise God for that. So we need to listen to the wisdom that comes from those who are older in the Lord. You know, I do. I listen. Just because I'm in ministry doesn't mean that I don't listen to other brothers and sisters and who've been seasoned in the Word of God, because I do. Absolutely. Amen. When I'm around and buddying around with other brothers and sisters, I hear what they're saying. And hallelujah. Praise God. I'm hearing. Because they're speaking the oracles of God. Amen. That's what we're supposed to be doing. We're not supposed to be talking in the flesh, right? We're supposed to be speaking the oracles of God. To which also you were called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. See, that's the heartbeat of God right there. That the word of Christ dwell in us richly, spiritually, you know, in all wisdom. Not some wisdom, and not to get puffed up, but know the wisdom of God, you know. Know and get understanding and teaching. So richly all wisdom and teaching, admonish yourselves in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs with grace, singing in your hearts unto God. Hallelujah. We're seeing that more and more. You know, even in the conference calls, we have a woman's prayer group there. they're breaking out and singing in the Spirit, and God's also giving them interpretation of their singing, what they're saying, and all that. Now they got the melody because they were singing it in the Spirit anyway. So praise God. And God's given some, you know, in the body of Christ, and some in, also in the conference call, and giving them songs. Praise God from heaven. Amen. And they're sharing it with the body of Christ, and we're just getting blessed left and right. Amen. So praise the Lord. So verse 17, it says, "And so whatsoever you do in words or deeds, do all in the Lord Jesus' name, thanking God the Father through him." Then he says, "Wives, be in subjection to your husband." You know, we're finding out more and more women are really wanting to get things right, and they're really getting in the Word of God, and they're studying themselves, you know, rightly dividing the Word of truth, you know, and they're learning to pray for their husbands, you know. And when I was down in Birmingham, there was quite a few, when I was in the charismatic setting there for a while, there's a lot of women that their husbands weren't even coming to the church because, well, they didn't, first of all, they didn't feel like it, and they were always being battered by them because they always were, you know, being Bible thumpers to them and always bringing correction to them, driving, wedging a drive between them, you know, and put a wall between themselves, you know, and all that. But women are here, I'm finding out more and more in the conference calls and in the prayer women's prayer group. I mean, they're just praising God and been delivered from things, you know, and confessing what God is doing in their life, and learning to pray for their husband, and learning to bring them to the throne of grace, you know, and all that, and let God work things out through them, and they're seeing results because of it. Praise God. So that's a testimony, isn't it? Wives, be subject to your husband as it's fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. Amen. We need to be loving our wives, and we shouldn't hold grudges against our wives or try to be a despot to our wives. Amen. Children, obey the parents and all. Are you children? Are you obeying your parents? For here's a promise right here. "For this is well pleasing in the Lord. Fathers, provoke not your children, that they be not discouraged." Amen. So, Father, Heavenly Father, we ask that you give all the fathers wisdom from above, not to provoke their children. Amen. Or cause them to be discouraged, but be a beaming light to their kids in Jesus' name. Abomin, obey in all things the Lord according to the flesh, not with eye service or men pleasures, but in singleness of heart, fearing the Lord. Amen. He's talking about slaves right there. Amen. Praise God. He's even telling a slave to fear God, you know, but to put their trust in the Lord. Amen. "Whatsoever you do, work from the soul as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you shall receive the recompense of the inheritance. You are bondmen of the Lord Jesus Christ." Amen. "For who doeth wrong shall receive again the wrong he hath done, and there is no respect of person." Wow. Now I'll close with James chapter 2, I believe, unless I still have some more time. But it says, are we, you know, there's a question the Lord prompted on me, you know, when I was reading some things. Should we be a respecter of persons? Absolutely not. James chapter 2 says, "My brethren, are you holding the faith of Jesus Christ, our Lord of the glory, with respect to persons? For if a man come into your synagogue with a gold ring and brilliant clothing, and a poor man also come in mean clothing, and you have regard to him that wears the brilliant clothing, and say, 'Sit thou here in a good place,' and you say to the poor, 'Thou stand or sit there under my footstool,' did you not discriminate among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? Hearken, my beloved brethren, did not God choose the poor as to the world to be what? Rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which he promised to them that love him." Hallelujah. "But ye have dishonored the poor man. Do not the rich oppress you and themselves drag you before judgment seats? Do not they blaspheme the honorable name by which you are called? Howbeit, if you fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, you do well. Praise God. But if you have respect of person, now this is what God says, you commit sin. So are you being a respecter of person? We need to really examine our hearts and make sure that we're not doing that to anybody. Being convicted by the law as transgressors, for whoever shall keep the whole law and stumble in one point is become guilty of all. For who said, do not commit adultery, said also, do not kill. Now if thou doest not commit adultery, but killest, thou art become a transgressor of the law. So speak and so do, so those to be judged by the law of liberty, for the judgment is without mercy to him that have shown no mercy. Mercy glories against judgment. Did you get that? Amen. We need to really have a heart of mercy towards people. Amen. And not elevate ourselves like we're somebody. Just because you got money doesn't mean nothing to God. I'm going to tell you right now. Matter of fact, you need to be one to give if you do have money. Praise the Lord. Amen. And if we do it, we need to be doing it joyfully too. Praise God. Not because we have to, you know. Oh, hallelujah. I've learned that. And when I had money, you know, I'm really willing to give all the time, you know. Sometimes I don't really have much, you know, to give. So praise God. But sometimes I'll give, you know. We ought to give the shirt off our back too at times, you know, when it presents itself, right? Amen. Okay, praise God. Love covers a multitude of sins, don't it? Amen. Well, let me see if I can squeeze a little bit more. It says, Christ, therefore, having suffered in the flesh, arm yourself also with the same mind. For who has suffered in the flesh has ceased unto sins, to live the rest of the time in the flesh, no longer to men's lust, but to God's will. Amen? And this is first chapter 4. And then verse 3 says, for the time past may suffice to have wrought the desires of the nations and have walked in lasciviousness, lust, winebibbers, revelings, carousing, and abominable idolatries, wherein they think it strange that you run not with them into the same excess of right, speaking evil of you, who shall give account to one ready to judge the living and the dead. Amen. Well, praise God. Hallelujah. Well, that's right, because your heart's changing, and your friends, your family members, you know, people that you work with, they know they'll start changing you. I know they did where I worked at. They knew I wasn't involved. I wouldn't get involved in certain things, so I wasn't invited. You know, even when I went on to job sites, sometimes they allowed me not to go to certain job sites because they knew some things would be going on there and all that, which was a lesson to me. Amen. It did bother me a bit. Hallelujah. Praise God. But it says right here, and I'm going to close with this: honor all men. This is 1 Peter 2:17. Honor all men. Love the brotherhood. Fear God. Holding the king in honor. Ye the servants, be subjection to the master with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the froward, which means the perverse and wicked. For this is grace, if for conscience toward God one endures grief, suffering wrongfully. Amen. You know, there's nothing wrong with suffering wrongfully. Amen. For what glory is it if when you sin and are buffeted, you are patient? But if when you do well and suffer for it, you shall take it patiently, this is grace before God. For unto were you called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. That's our testimony right there. We should be just like the Lord Jesus, who when reviled, reviled not again, when suffering, threatened not, but committed it to him that judges righteously, who himself carried our sins in his body up to the tree, that we, having died to sin, might live unto righteousness, by whose bruise we were healed. Amen. For we were wandering like sheep, but now return unto the shepherd, overseers of our souls. Amen. I'll close right there. Well, praise God, Brother David. Did you want to close with a prayer, or would you want me to close with a prayer?
Sure.
Well, why don't you pray and I will too. How about that?
Okay, brother. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, Father, I just thank you, Lord. Father, if there's anything in our heart that's not pleasing in your sight, Father, show it to us. We just welcome the Holy Spirit to bring a conviction in our heart, Father, because we want to get things right. And we thank you for that, Father, in the name of Jesus, in Jesus' name. And, Father, if there's anyone out there battling with certain things, we just bind up the works of the enemy right now. We just bind up and cast out if anyone's on the receive any spirits of anger and strife and bickering and haughtiness and spirits of mocking or dissension in Jesus' name, or spirits of unbelief and doubt and disbelief and skepticism and pride and arrogance and vanity and self-importance and false self-worth or self-righteousness or lying spirits. We just bind those spirits up and cast those unclean spirits out of those who want to be delivered from that in the name of Jesus. We bind up and cast out spirits of anger and hot temper and malice and lasciviousness spirits in the name of Jesus. Command those spirits to go in Jesus' name. Amen.